CD 3. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy notes that Disaster Area, a plutonium rock band from the Gagra-Kakar mine zones, are generally held to be not only the loudest rock band in the galaxy, but in fact the loudest noise of any kind at all. Regular concert goers judge that the best sound is usually to be heard from within large concrete bunkers some 37 miles from the stage, whilst the musicians themselves play their instruments by remote control from within a heavily insulated spaceship which stays in orbit around the planet, or more frequently, around a completely different planet. Their songs are, on the whole, very simple and mostly follow the familiar theme of boy being meets girl being beneath a silvery moon, which then explodes for no adequately explored reason. Many worlds have now banned their act altogether, sometimes for artistic reasons, but most commonly because the band's public address system contravenes local strategic arms limitations treaties. This has not, however, stopped their earnings from pushing back the boundaries of pure hypermathematics, and their chief research accountant has recently been appointed Professor of Neomathematics at the University of Maximegalon, in recognition of both his general and his special theories of disaster area tax returns, in which he proves that the whole fabric of the space-time continuum is not merely curved, it is in fact totally bent. Ford staggered back to the table where Zaphod, Arthur and Trillian were sitting, hoping for the fun to begin.
"I gotta have some food," said Ford.
"Hi, Ford," said Zaphod. "You speak to the big noise boy?"
Ford waggled his head non-committally.
Hot Black, I sort of spoke to him, yeah.
What'd he say?
Well, not a lot, really. He's,
yeah?
he's spending a year dead for tax reasons. I've got to sit down.
He sat down. The waiter approached.
"Would you like to see the menu," he said, "or would you like to meet the dish of the day?"
"Huh?" said Ford.
"Huh?"
said Arthur.
"Huh?" said Trillian.
"That's cool," said Zaphod. "We'll meet the meat."
The lights dimmed, the band quickened its pace, a single spotlight stabbed down into the darkness of the stairway that led up to the centre of the stage. Up the stairs bounded a tall, brilliantly coloured figure. He burst onto the stage, tripped lightly up to the microphone, removed it from its stand with one swoop of his long, thin hand, and stood for a moment bowing left and right to the audience, acknowledging their applause and displaying to them his bay window. He waved to his particular friends in the audience, even though there weren't any there, and waited for the applause to die down. He held up his hand and smiled a smile that stretched not merely from ear to ear, but seemed to extend some way beyond the mere confines of his face.
"Thank you, ladies and gentlemen," he cried. "Thank you very much. Thank you so much."
He eyed them with a twinkling eye.
"Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "the universe as we know it has now been in existence for over 170,000 million billion years and will be ending in a little over half an hour. So, welcome one and all to Milliways, the restaurant at the end of the universe."
With a gesture, he deftly conjured another round of spontaneous applause. With another gesture, he cut it.
"I am your host for tonight," he said. "My name is Max Quadlepleen."
Everybody knew this. His act was famous throughout the known galaxy, but he said it for the fresh applause it generated, which he acknowledged with a disclaiming smile and wave.
"And I've just come straight from the very, very other end of time, where I've been hosting a show at the Big Bang Burger Bar, where I can tell you we had a very exciting evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I will be with you right through this historic occasion, the end of history itself."
Another burst of applause died away quickly as the lights dimmed down further. On every table, candles ignited themselves spontaneously, eliciting a slight gasp from all the diners and wreathing them in 1,000 tiny flickering lights and 1,000,000 intimate shadows. A tremor of excitement thrilled through the darkened restaurant as the vast golden dome above them began very, very slowly to dim, to darken, to fade. Max's voice was hushed as he continued.
"So,
Ladies and gentlemen, he breathed.
The candles are lit. The band plays softly. And as the force-shielded dome above us fades into transparency, revealing a dark and sullen sky hung heavy with the ancient light of livid, swollen stars, I can see we're all in for a fabulous evening's apocalypse.
Even the soft tootling of the band faded away as stunned shock descended on all those who had not seen this sight before. A monstrous, grisly light poured in on them. A hideous light. A boiling, pestilential light. A light that would have disfigured hell. The universe was coming to an end. For a few interminable seconds, the restaurant spanned silently through the raging void. Then Max spoke again.
For those of you who ever hoped to see the light at the end of the tunnel, he said, this is it.
The band struck up again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, cried Max. I'll be back with you again in just a moment. And meanwhile, I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Mr. Reg Nullify and his cataclysmic combo. Big hand, please, ladies and gentlemen, for Reg and the boys.
The baleful turmoil of the skies continued. Hesitantly, the audience began to clap, and after a moment or so, normal conversation resumed. Max began his round of the tables, swapping jokes, shouting with laughter, earning his living.